Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Well, this is normally hour number two, but this is really going to be hour number one. We're down to half a show today. But that's okay. We know you love the Astros. Unfortunately, the Stros, as we said, lost to the Twins 8-2. But it is Thursday, the second day of May, the year 2019. And we've got a lot to talk about today in a short period of time. So without further ado, let's see what's going on in the world of sports as we take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD! Button, please.
Here's today's hot topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
In the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB 1037 The Game, producer extraordinaire CD Clint Domain. I am your humble host, Jordy Hultberg, here, Studio 1A. Good afternoon, Clint. Sorry your Stros couldn't get it done today. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that was pa bon, brother. That was a bad look for the Astros to wrap up a series. But now they're going to be – here's the weird thing, Jordy. You know, we're talking about this series against the Minnesota Twins. Definitely a bad look. But then again, the Twins, they look really, really good to start off the season. Been able
they're
to hit
legit.
Home
yeah.
runs with a lot of consistency. But my question to you is this, Jordy. Have you ever seen a series where you go from – the Great White North almost in Minnesota, and then you go down to Monterrey, Mexico for a two-game set. That feels like it's just quite literally night and day in terms of conditions.
Yeah. You saw Astros out there in the outfield wearing hoodies with their hats over them because of the weather. Now they go, that's a lot of travel, got a day off. Hey, why not? Seen crazier things, but the Astros are a hot team. I mean, a very visible team. Major League Baseball loves them. They love their personality. They're great players. So they want to spread the wealth around the world. So they head to Mexico. And we'll see. They got to keep winning some games. They got to bounce back. Minnesota's legit. And I think their record speaks for itself. So a little getaway day baseball up in the Twin Cities that didn't go very well for the boys from Houston.
Exactly, Jordy. And looking over at the world of horse racing, Jordy, it is absolutely wide open right now. Anybody's race, quite literally, because of everything that happened yesterday with the morning line favorite Omaha Beach being scratched due to a entrapped epiglottis, something I've never heard of in my life prior to yesterday, Jordy. My goodness, this puts
what
things
is that? You said it very well. What the heck is that?
The entrapped epiglottis, Jordy, it's that flap in your throat that kind of prevents food from getting into your windpipe.
Okay.
And that winds up obviously probably going to affect your breathing, and they're going to want to have a procedure done on the horse.
Yeah.
Taking them out of probably the entire Triple Crown races, all three of them, because it's like he's going to miss 3 weeks of training, and that winds up probably taking them out of all three. But my question to you, Jordy, is this the most wide-open Kentucky Derby you've ever seen?
Hoo-wee. I believe that to the experts to determine. I don't know. I'm sure somebody will step to the forefront. We'll see. Tomorrow we'll talk with our thoroughbred handicapper, Michael Bateshock, about that and see what he likes. I would probably say if not, it's certainly right up there with some of the more wide open. There's not a lot of hot horses going into this thing. I think your betting favorite has come in second a couple of times this year. So we'll see. Is it Bob Baffert's turn again? He had American Pharoah. He had Justify 2015, 2018 as Triple Crown winners. We'll see if somebody else steps up to the forefront. I can't wait. It's a little bit after 5 o'clock post time from Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm, I'll be watching. I promise you that.
Oh, same here, Jordy. Same here. And, hey, if you're not able to watch it, you can listen
you can
to
listen.
It right
yes.
here on 103.7 The Game. Thanks to Westwood One's coverage of the Kentucky Derby and also the entire Triple Crown run. Maybe, just maybe, we have another one. And that's another question I want to throw your way, Jordy, is – all right, would you be okay with seeing another Triple Crown winner be like the third in what the last 5 years? Or would you be a bigger fan of like waiting a little bit longer for that next guy to come along?
No, indeed. Give me a Triple Crown winner every year. It makes it intriguing. It makes it exciting. And Thoroughbred Racing wants at least that horse to win the Derby and the Preakness to set up the buildup for the Belmont. No, I'm all for it. Give me the greatest horse out there and let him run and let him win all three. I'd love to see it every year. It's not going to happen, obviously, but I have no problem with it at all.
Oh, it's crazy right now, Jordy. Looking at horse racing, everything wide open. Can't wait till Saturday.
Here's the thing. What kind of track? I'm hearing reports it's going to be a muddy track again.
Yeah.
When's the last time we had a sunny, fast, dry Kentucky Derby? It's been a while.
And the crazy part is, Jordy, you're bringing this up. I think that's a big reason why Omaha Beach was a morning line favorite. I was getting some sound yesterday afternoon just before the announcement that Omaha Beach was scratched. And they were basically saying, because of the fact that it's a sloppy track, that was going to wind up being a big reason. That's a big reason why Omaha Beach is the strong favorite. But then, of course, he gets scratched like not long after. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
We could have used that today.
Look at my boy Clint doing his homework. I think he's going to put a nickel or two on this race.
Hey,
we'll
I mean, there is a horse track not far from the 237 Rouge Studios.
I think you're right.
It's not as close as it used to be back in the day, but still, it's a pretty quick drive down the road.
There you go. I love it. Let's do it.
Jordy, I can't wait for Saturday. It's always fun, the Kentucky Derby. But, you know, Jordy, we got to talk a little bit about the New Orleans Saints because it looks like some renovations could be ahead if everybody agrees to it. A $450 million renovation to the iconic stadium. Not obviously, probably winds up saving a whole lot of money. You're not moving anything because apparently you would have had to pay $1 billion to get a new one constructed. Yeah. Thankfully, they're going to wind up making something similar to what we're seeing in Jerry's World, kind of a standing room only setup. You down with that?
I am for that. I think that's a great idea. They're going to do a lot of behind-the-scenes cosmetic stuff. I think it would cost nearly $2 billion, about $1.8 billion reports are out there saying if they were to build a new stadium, and that's not going to happen. So this is a collaborative effort between the Superdome, the state, the Saints, the governor. And that's the way you do business these days, and I'm all for it. I think it's going to be terrific. They got to dot the I's and cross the T's, but they've got that 10-year addition to their lease commitment, so that's going to take the Saints till 2035. And again, it goes back to what I was saying yesterday. Never have I felt more secure about the Saints and the Pelicans than I have now, and their commitment to the city, the city's commitment to them. I just think it's terrific. I'm all for it.
Same here, Jordy. It feels like everything's starting to fall into place. We're seeing Gail Benson execute her plans to the fullest, separating the two, but obviously being the person who's in control of both of them, making sure both of them are working independently of each other. I think that's the first step.
They're just using common sense, and they understand that before it was like butting heads with one another.
Yeah.
The state wanted to give them this. The ownership wanted to get more and more. Now they're working together. It's smooth. It's efficient. It's professional. It's just the way you do business and succeed. I love it.
Jordy, it's going to be huge looking ahead to that. But one more thing before we get out of here, and you talk to Cody Worshman a little bit about LSU. Want to talk LSU baseball with you for a moment, Jordy. The 3-game set against the Ole Miss Rebels.
Yep.
My question to you is, can Mikhail Hilliard get things done on Friday night and be able to set this team up for some great success in the next couple of weeks? Because we know it's the tail end of the season, and the quest, the magic number, if you will, Jordy, is 20. Can they get there with a guy like Hilliard on the bump just this Friday?
I cannot imagine him getting the ball on Friday night if Paul Maneri and Allen didn't think he could do it. I mean, it just... I don't think he has to give you many. I think 5 innings would be phenomenal. And I think that there may be a shorter, not too much shorter, but still a shorter leash now that you've got these arms in the bullpen. But, yeah, I think Hilliard can do it. I mean, he's shown potential. Now, he didn't put pictures great last time out, but he's at home now. So I'm going to be the optimistic one and say yes, but Ole Miss is a good ball club. So they're at 13 wins, their LSU, as is Ole Miss. They've got 9 conference games to go, so my higher math tells me they want to get to 20. They got to go to 7-9. 6 of those 9 are at home, 3 at Arkansas. Yeah, we shall see. There's your Hot Topics of the Day. Thank you, Clint. Brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce on the planet, the B.R. family, for nearly 90 years. 9 decades of excellence, of greatness, of just consistency. It's hard to do, but the B.R.'s do it every day. These are the finest spices and the finest peppers. You come up with the finest hot sauce anywhere. Bring a small bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go. Because everything, and I mean everything, tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. We'll go around the LSU Athletic Department with LSU's Digital Media Director, Cody Worsham, next.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfer Show on 103.7 The Game.
And we welcome you back, boys and girls. Before we get to our next guest, this news just in. The Baton Rouge Advocate and the Advocate New Orleans has just purchased NOLA.com News and the Times-Picayune. So my boy John Georges buying up newspapers. How about that? And our next guest is a writer. He does a tremendous job. He does everything now at LSU as their digital media director. Cody Worsham, kind enough to join us. How about that news, my friend? How about that?
Yeah, it's good to be with you, Jordy. That's pretty cool. You know, I don't know the implications of it other than, you know, just personally, selfishly. I'd like to see a daily printed presence in New Orleans just because I think it's an important thing in the community. So maybe that purchase will mean that that it's back, an expanded daily newspaper presence in New Orleans should be really cool.
Yes, my dad misses it greatly. I think they get it 2 or 3 maybe days a week now. It's just, anyway, I still like the feel of a newspaper in my hands. I know it's all computer and all that, but I'm still kind of like the newspaper. Anyway, good times at LSU. I mean, my goodness gracious. How are things going out there as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, in one sense, it's been a little bit slower for me personally just because basketball's done and I'm not running around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to come up with crazy stats and record podcasts every week. But on the other hand, you know, it's kind of busier than ever with a new athletic director and, you know, a bunch of sports and big games just this weekend. If you look at beach volleyball, they're in the NCAA championship. Softball's playing at home for an SEC regular season championship. Baseball's got a big home series. Women's tennis has postseason play coming up this weekend. Golf has postseason play coming up next week, men's and women's. So it's
a lot of stuff.
Not as busy, and it's also busier than ever.
Yeah, that's right.
Makes sense at all.
Cody Worsh, that makes perfect sense. I know exactly what you mean. What struck you the most when you were listening to what the new director of athletics, Scott Woodward, had to say to the staff that you're on?
Yeah, I think I think one of the biggest things that I keep hearing is just trying to get everyone pulling in the same direction, rowing in the same direction, get the university, the athletic department, everybody on the same page. I think that's going to be a really important mission for him, something that he's emphasizing early. Mm-hmm. I think the start has certainly been positive in that regard. He's so well regarded nationally, but he's also really well regarded locally. He's just got such deep ties to this community, and he knows so many people. I think that's going to be really, really important. As you know, at LSU, we continue to build relationships, develop relationships. I think that's going to be the most important thing for him. There's other important stuff to do. He's got to hire coaches and manage an athletic department. It's not an easy job, but I think it starts with just get everybody pull in the same direction and on the same page. And I think he's going to be very, very good and well suited for that.
I don't have a question or a doubt about it. Have you ever, I mean, you followed LSU baseball for a while, and I got to give Paul a lot of credit. He's not settling. He is still trying to come up with what is the best thing to do for this club to win ball games. I've never seen anything this late in the season where you're still trying to figure out because of injuries and whatever, but you're moving people around. You're trying to figure out your pitching staff. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, you know, it's different. I think, you know, with Zach Hess moving to the bullpen this weekend, I think it's something LSU probably would have liked to have done earlier, and I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know this for a fact. It's just pure speculation. I wouldn't be surprised if Paul Mainieri, this is something he's been thinking about for even longer than the last couple of weeks. He wanted to make this move last week. Cole Henry, in fact, he made the move, and then 2 minutes later, Cole Henry walked into his office and said, "Hey, I got arm soreness, can't pitch this week."
Right.
And so he went ahead and put Zach Hess back in that Friday spot. But, you know, I go back to the first weekend of the season when they're battling some injuries, of course, but, you know, Landon Marceau and Jaden Hill both get starts in the opening weekend. And a part of that was Eric Walker needed a little bit of time, and they wanted to give him to that Tuesday or Wednesday. But when I saw Marceau and Hill in that opening weekend rotation, it almost felt like they were trying to find a dude, you know, a guy that could maybe move into that Friday or certainly in the weekend rotation. And so Hill looked the part early. Of course, he's been hurt, but Henry developed as that guy. Marceau, I think, has started to show some things. By all accounts, he was their best pitcher in the fall. And so I think they finally are now at a spot, even with Henry out, hopefully for the very, very short term, they feel like they have enough arms with Mikhail Hilliard healthy, throwing better lately. I feel like he finally can make that move and feel confident that his staff is at its best. So we'll see. It's a big weekend. It's a big weekend for that bullpen. It's a big weekend for Hess as he moves back into that role. He knows it's going to take some adjustment, and it's a big weekend for the guys getting starts. They got to deliver for LSU.
No question, Cody. And I'm just curious, you've got now three guys in the bullpen that have been closers for you at one point in time with Peterson, Fontenot, and now Hess going back to what he did and did so well as a freshman. I'm really curious to see how this all plays out and how they utilize all three of them.
Yeah, no doubt. Mainieri said yesterday that he wants to have two closers at least, because if you need two closers, that means you're in good shape. That means you're winning games late. But he doesn't want to have to throw Devin Fontenot out there, you know, three games in a row on a weekend. He doesn't want to have to throw Todd Peterson out there for two innings one night, two innings another night. It's just not sustainable. So now you've got really three guys. And if you can just get decent starts out of your young guys and Hilliard and Marceau, and we know what Eric Walker can do. But if those guys can give you four or five solid innings, you know, not give up more than a couple runs, that you should be able to shut things down with the bullpen. And that's going to give the offense some wiggle room to, you know, either strike early or strike late. It's what this team does. It's what Paul Mainieri's teams do. They seem to play better later in the season. You're starting to see some signs of that. You're seeing some guys emerge. Saul Garza is starting to play better. Kay Beloso has been pretty consistent for them. Some of the young guys are stepping up. Bianco's finding his swing. Gavin Tugot coming not out of nowhere because they knew he was going to be good, but getting healthy and stepping right in and giving them some productive at-bats. Those little pieces are starting to fall in place. If they can just get them all on the same page and then eventually, hopefully soon, get Cole Henry back, they're going to be in a good spot.
I'm with you. Cody Worsham, LSU's digital media director. So baseball has Ole Miss. You mentioned earlier softball trailing Alabama by one. A chance to maybe, if they do what they're capable of doing, could win the SEC title, become a national seed. We got beach volleyball, a number 5 seed in the NCAA tournament down in Gulf Shores. That gets underway Friday. And, oh, by the way, Foster Moreau just signed a contract. How about? Did you ever think you could come out of college, get your degree, and all of a sudden just have $500,000 signing bonus and a 4-year deal worth a little bit more than $3 million? That's not a bad way to spend a college career.
No, it's not at all. You know, these professional contracts these days, you know, some of the numbers are so outlandish that when you see something like that, $3 million and a $500,000 signing bonus, I could understand if someone's like, yeah, that's nice money. No, that's like, that's, you know, I'm not going to tell people what I make. But let's just say that's a lot more money than I would make even in a decade, even in the course of a career. So when you add in that full contract, so that's really good money. I wouldn't sneeze at it if somebody threw it my way coming out of college.
No.
And Foster, yeah. You know, Foster, what a story, being the last guy brought into that signing class whenever he signed with LSU, kind of a deadline day decision, and here he is now a millionaire.
Yeah. A guy that could be a millionaire anytime he wants to do it. Maybe, I've said this, the most decorated athlete prior to coming to LSU, and that's on the track in Mondo Duplantis. What, I mean, this guy, he's remarkable.
Yeah, he is, and we haven't seen the best of him yet because, you know, track, it's almost like pitching in a way. You kind of, but more extreme, you know, pitchers kind of, they're not out there in December throwing 95 miles per hour in the offseason. Mondo's kind of the same way. You sort of work your way into your peak, and so Mondo mm-hmm. is still working his way up to that. You know, I don't know if he's going to jump over six meters like he did when he, what, the fourth highest jump of all time last summer.
Amazing. Yep.
In the history of humankind. I don't know if he's going to do that or break that this year, but you're seeing him slowly develop into his peak, and you know, the best part of it is 75% Mondo is still one of the best athletes you'll ever see in college track and field. So he's phenomenal. He's I don't want to use the pun here, but it's unavoidable. He set a really high bar for himself with what he did last summer. And, I really didn't want to use it, but I couldn't let it slip. He set a really high bar for himself last summer, and he's working his way back up there this year. And it's fun to see, man. That's a guy that could win an Olympic gold medal one day. He's on LSU's campus. It's pretty cool.
He might be the most decorated athlete in LSU history before it's all said and done. And I'm not exaggerating that in any way, shape, or form. All right. Well, you don't have to do podcasts every day, so enjoy a little time. Good luck with the addition to your home. I do follow Twitter every now and then, but I don't know who can help you with that. But it's always fun talking with you, man, and I'm glad we got to catch up with you today. So take care. Enjoy the weekend, and you follow the Kentucky Derby at all?
No, I've never been a horse racing guy. I'm the outcast in the athletic department. It's kind of totally Kent Lowe. Shout about horses in the office, and I don't really know what they're talking about.
So. All right. Well, go stick to your great storytelling, and thank you as always, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you. If you need me, I'll be in the permit office trying to work through city government, so wish me luck.
Good luck. We'll see you next year. That is Cody Worsham, LSU Digital Media Director. So baseball, big series. Softball, really big series against Alabama. Beach volleyball going for a national championship, or at least they're one of eight teams going for it, and so much more. Timeout. When we come back, it's Thursday, right? Time for the Schwab. NFL talk next.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Well, it's Thursday, and that means it's time for our weekly dose of the best in the business when it comes to the NFL, and that is Frank Schwab, the editor extraordinaire of Shutdown Corner for Yahoo Sports. Frank, thank you for your time. As always, the draft has come and gone, and how about a shout-out to Nashville, Tennessee? Man, do they love a party, and do they love football? Gee whiz.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I mean, every time ESPN showed that, like, overhead shot of the crowd, it just seemed to go on forever. It was
I'm telling you.
Pretty amazing. I mean, and I'm, you know, we've talked about this. I'm not the biggest draft nerd in the world. I'm not one who counts down the days to it. I don't think about the fan and go watch it, but plenty of people do. I mean, ESPN's ratings were through the roof, even though this wasn't a draft that was high on star power, really. What we think of as star power, there weren't a ton of big-name quarterbacks in this class.
Right.
There wasn't a Saquon Barkley. But yet, you know, their ratings overall were up, I think it was 5% total. Their day two ratings were up like 19%. I mean,
crazy.
They did well. Nashville had like 600,000 people attend the draft. I just wonder what Vegas is going to be like next year because since they announced it, basically, I've had from all walks of my life, like friends, you know, not in the business necessarily, saying, oh my God, let's go to Vegas for the draft. You know what I mean? So I think that there's going to be so many people that just say, I just want to go to the draft. And I don't know, like, where they're going to hold it or how they're going to do that because the stadium probably won't be ready by then.
Right.
If they have it in the arena where the Golden Knights play, that's only 19,000 people or something like that. So, but Vegas knows how to put on a party, so we shall see.
My God, I just don't get it. I mean, it's, you're out there. I'm thinking of all those people standing out there. It looked like a mile away. Just to see a guy open up an envelope and say, okay, Tampa Bay takes Devin White with the 5th pick in the draft. I just, it's amazing to me. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, it's not my thing. I mean, I do this for a living, and I'm interested in the draft that way and write a ton about it. But if I was just a fan sitting on my couch, I'd rather watch the worst Major League Baseball game on the schedule that day than the entire NFL draft. But, again, I'm a minority there. I know people love it. I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade. I'm sure that there's stuff I watch. Nobody's watching Milwaukee Brewers baseball like I am. So I'm sure we all have our own things we like and consume. And, again, the popularity of the draft and how it's grown to be a three-day event, how it's grown to be a live event, how it's grown to just be this, I mean, it almost seems like it's the biggest playoff games. I mean, as far as just a day that people get excited about, it just shocks me. I mean, I started covering the league in 2000, and it was big then, but it's the way the NFL's grown.
It's crazy.
It really blows my mind. It is crazy.
Frank Schwab joining us. Vegas will be crazy. All right, we got to talk about the draft a little bit. I don't know. You can't measure who did great until you see how these players perform once they get into the league, but what stood out to you on the positive side, and what stood out to you to the what? What'd they do that for?
I think that, you know, the team that had for me anyway, that really stood out, that I thought that at every round they got really good value and players that they needed, was the Buffalo Bills. And Oliver in the first round. I thought Ed Oliver should have been the 4th pick of the draft. We're going to talk about the Raiders in a second here. But I thought Ed Oliver was a great pick, the Houston defensive tackle. They got the Oklahoma tackle, offensive tackle, and second round Cody Ford, who I thought should have been a first rounder. They got a couple tight ends who are really, you know, look like they might be productive. A running back who's a clone, basically, of LeSean McCoy. I just thought that with every pick, I was saying, wow, that's a good pick for the Bills. That's a good pick for the Bills. That's a good pick. By the end of the day, you just say, well, they made a lot of good picks. And we'll see. Teams that did surprise me, the Raiders did surprise me a little bit. I know everybody's pretty high on their draft, but it's one of those things where I don't give extra credit because they had extra first-round picks. I mean, I think that people who like the Raiders draft say, wow, they got these three guys in the first round. Well, yeah, they paid for those picks. They gave Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper for those picks. So I don't necessarily say, well, they got three good players in the first round. Of course they're going to get three good players in the first round. They're first-round picks. What did they do with those picks? The first one, Colin Farrell, defensive end out of Clemson. Good, solid player. I like him. A good character guy from all accounts. But do I think he has the upside of, like, a five-time Pro Bowler? No, not really. I think he's a good, solid player. Maybe I'm wrong. He's a great player, Clemson. And then the second pick, they take a running back, the kid from Alabama, Josh Jacobs. I wouldn't take a running back in the first round. That's just my personal unless it's a Saquon Barkley type of talent, and Josh Jacobs is not that. And then with the next pick, they take kind of an in-the-box safety, which is great. I mean, but I don't know that necessarily that's the type of difference maker I pick in the first round either. So I look at what they did with their picks, and I'm like, did they maximize these? Did they swing big on a couple of guys who could really make a difference for their franchise? Not really. They just got three guys who, they're all going to contribute. They're probably all going to be starters. Probably pretty good starters, but I didn't think the Raiders had the kind of draft everybody thinks they had.
Frank Schwab, shutdown corner for Yahoo Sports. Dwayne Haskins goes to the Washington Redskins. They've had some quarterback futility for the longest of times. Joe Theismann signed off, said, you can wear my number 7. Haskins, everybody, it just depends on what your feeling is, but many said he was the best quarterback in the draft. I don't know. What do you think of Haskins going to Washington?
I'll tell you what I like is that the Redskins didn't move up. They didn't trade future firsts. They didn't, you know, we've seen teams move up to Truman Holmes or Watson or Wentz or Goff. They've given up a ton of draft value. They sat there at 15. They got fell in their laps. Do I love Dwayne Haskins?
Not really, honestly. I think he could be good. I think he's the kind of I do think some of these quarterbacks are going to hit in this draft. I think we talked about this last week. Where I think Kyler's good. I like the fit. I like that Cliff Kingsbury's all in on him. He's going to devise a good offense for him. I do like Kyler. Outside of that, I think out of Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, Drew Locke, that's basically your next tier. I think one of those guys, maybe two, maybe all three, is going to be a pretty solid NFL quarterback. I just can't tell you which one. And with Dwayne Haskins, it's like he's good. I don't know if he's great. Maybe. I don't know. But for the price point, for the 15th pick of the draft, when a guy just falls to you and you're not mortgaging the future for this guy. You're just saying, all right, this is the guy we like, and it's the 15th pick, and it's not going to cost us. It's a valuable pick, obviously, but it's not costing us the farm to find out. I like the pick there. But I'm not exactly sold that he's going to be a great quarterback, if that makes sense.
Frank, Vegas never misses a beat, and they've already posted the odds for who'll be the NFL's top pick in 2020 already. And you've got some quarterbacks leading the way. Is Tua from Alabama a quarterback that teams, I hate to say the word, but that teams would consider, let's lose as many games as we can so we can get the number one pick and get him? Is he worth that in your book?
Not to me. I don't think so personally. I think Trevor Lawrence, like Clemson is, but he's not coming along until 2021.
Right.
With Tua, he's very good. Yeah, and he impressed me in the Clemson game, even though they lost. He made some throws against very, very good defense that I was like, okay, that's what I've seen. Because through the regular season, it just seemed like, I don't know how many touchdown passes he threw for us, 50-some, I think. It seemed like 98% of those were guys running 20 yards open. You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah, he should be able to make that pass. Alabama's just so much more talented than everybody else. It's hard to gauge how good he is, really. Uh-huh. But I understand why people like him. He's a good athlete. He's got a good arm. He is productive. But do I think he's like a slam dunk number one pick? No, not yet. I'm not willing to go there. There's some good quarterbacks in that draft. Fromm is really good. Justin Herbert out of Oregon, really good. I saw the Vegas odds too, and I was surprised that he was that big of a favorite. I just think that there's a lot of stuff happens in a year. A lot of the guys who we think are just stone cold locks to be first rounders, top 10 picks now, are going to have bad seasons or get hurt, or just guys going to pick apart their game, and they won't end up being that. But yeah, I guess if I had to tell you, if I had to do a mock draft today, who's going to be number one? Yeah, I'd pick Tua, but I think a lot can change between now and then.
Is Lawrence going to be the most coveted quarterback since maybe Andrew Luck?
Yeah, I think that at least Andrew Luck. As we sit here now, Matt Barkley's kind of my touch point here, where I just say, I remember Matt Barkley after his freshman year, and everybody said, this is the greatest prospect, and he's going to go number one in the draft. They are going to third round, fourth round. They really never gets a foothold in the NFL as a starter. So things can change. Even Sam Darnold, remember after Sam Darnold at Rose Bowl, his redshirt freshman year, everybody was saying, Sam Darnold's the best prospect to come along. Yes. He wasn't even the first quarterback in his class. Man, a running back when they had him. So could things change with Trevor Lawrence? Absolutely. But I just look at that guy, and boy, that Alabama game. My goodness. For a freshman to do that to that defense, he has the size. He has, the intangibles. He has the arm. If you're that good as a freshman, you'd assume you're going to be good as your sophomore and junior season. So if I had to say right now, I think he's going to be the highest quarterback prospect since Luck. Maybe even if he continues to grow since Elway, really. He's that good. To me, he's just that good. And I hope that's right, because I want to be excited about this guy.
Yes.
2 years from now, I want to be like, I can't wait to see Trevor Lawrence play for the Miami Dolphins or whoever.
Oh, they'll be tanking like big time for him. Oh, my. If he has that, they'll be tanking like crazy.
And you know what, Jordy, you know what? These teams who tank, I think, it's hard to get 53 guys on an NFL roster to tank. You're never going to do that. But, everybody looks at this as such a negative thing. But if I'm sitting there and I'm a team that's just had no luck, if I have a chance to get an Andrew Luck, if you're telling me, hey, this kid is basically Andrew Luck 2.0, all you got to do is, instead of going 5-11 this year, go 2-14. Boy, Isn't it smart? Like,
yes.
I get it. You're trying to win. That's the NFL.
No,
blah, blah,
no.
But if I'm a fan of a team, I'm a fan. Like, New Orleans Saints. Let's say New Orleans Saints are, you know, the Drew Brees. I don't even want to bring it up to you because you're going to freak out. But if Drew Brees retires, and then the New Orleans Saints are sitting there saying, how are we going to rebuild this thing? Well, boy, there's this Trevor Lawrence kid, and we're probably a 5-win team. Maybe we, you know, trade some guys away and try to be a 2-win team. I don't know. That you might be good for the next 20 years with that guy. So
that's,
I don't know.
Right.
It's the 76ers thing. Look, everybody makes fun of the 76ers, but I'm going to turn on my TV tonight and see the 76ers and the final eight of the NBA. So sometimes this can work, especially for a franchise quarterback like that.
Frank, I don't know what your perception of the New Orleans Saints is from an ownership standpoint and everything. They're getting ready to sign another lease that's going to keep them in the city through 2035. And it just seems to me that they've got all their ducks in a row. They've got a collaborative effort working between the state and the Saints and the Superdome Committee, and everybody's on the same page. And to me, I've never been more sure of the foundation of that organization than I am right here, right now.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, I did mention the Milwaukee Brewers before. The Milwaukee Brewers almost moved in the mid-90s before Miller Park was built, and that's kind of scarred me as a fan. And I remember very well the San Antonio stuff with the New Orleans Saints. I'm sure everybody there does, too, where you're kind of always, like, a little bit back in the corner with that, you know? But I think that New Orleans is a fantastic NFL market. Great fans. Phenomenal fans. As good as they get, really. It's so passionate. I hear from them all the time if I write anything bad about the Saints. And it's a perfect fit. And the NFL at some point, I mean, this goes back to the Chargers, and I'm kind of going a very roundabout way to answer this question, but it kind of goes back to the Chargers, where you just wish the NFL would have stepped in and said, guys, stay in San Diego. What are we doing here? This isn't smart. And so I think the NFL, there has to be more to the NFL than just, hey, we're making $14 billion this year. We might be able to make $14 billion and change if we move to New Orleans Saints. You know, I think that there's got to be some tangible, like, there's a good fan base, there's a good market. Everybody kind of likes the Saints in New Orleans. We don't want to see them in Portland or whatever, you know, wherever they would move. So I think it's great. I think that they are on just good footing, especially compared to, like, right before Drew came. I mean, that was a really really scary time. I don't like to see teams move, period. I just think it's just not a good look for anybody when it happens. I think that I do, as I sit here, I do believe, you know, the Saints are on as good a footing as they could be on, and I'm happy for that. I think it's, again, I love New Orleans, and I think that team is right where it needs to be. And, you know, I guess I should ask you, the next probably part of that is, what do they do with the Superdome, right? Like, I mean, I'm sure.
They're going to renovate it. They're going to spend about $450 million to renovate the thing. And so it's all moving in the right direction. And look, if you look at the numbers in the draft, the second highest TV-rated market was New Orleans, and they didn't have a first-round pick.
They didn't have one. It's unbelievable. Yeah, that's why, I was saying, I kind of meant, like, are the renovations going to be enough where they're just like, wow, this is our place for the next, you know, like they did with Wrigley Field, or like they did with Lambeau Field in Green Bay, like they did with Fenway. I mean, they turned kind of old, but those old stadiums have a lot of charm. I guess the Superdome does have some charm in some ways.
It does.
But is it going to be like, all right, we can see this is a modern NFL stadium now, and there's no need for anything else. The Saints are perfectly fine here for the next 40 years, whatever it's going to be. So I hope so, because, again, I really like that market. I like the fan base, and the Saints should always be in New Orleans. It's just it's a perfect fit.
It really is, and I'm telling you, Gail Benson is winning over the fans left and right, and I think her credibility around the league is going up as well.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because of what's happening with the Pelicans, right? I mean, it's kind of a totally different thing with the Anthony Davis stuff, and it just doesn't seem like that franchise is doing very well. But yet, I do think that after Tom died, it's getting better. I think there was some nervousness, but I do think that there's good things happening in New Orleans, and that's, at the end of the day, that's all you can ask.
Yeah. So now what's on the NFL calendar? Can we take a break from the NFL, or is this, what's next?
Boy, I wish.
I wish. I've been looking for days off, man. There's always stuff going on. I always think, like, there's nothing going to be going on, but just the appetite for NFL news is there all the time. And, you know, whether it's this rookie said this about that, and this is, you know, the first time we're seeing this guy on the field in this new uniform in mini camps, and this guy got hurt in mini camps. It's just, I mean, I don't think there's going to be any, you know, the Flategate type of story to carry the summer, but maybe it's Tyreek Hill. I don't know.
It's Marshawn Lynch saying I'll come back under certain caveats or whatever, and Tom Coughlin going, I guess I can't be old school anymore. It is called voluntary workouts. You can't do that kind of stuff.
Can't do it. It's voluntary. Yeah. So you can't call out Jalen Ramsey. But yeah, it amazes me as a guy who loves all sports. I love both baseball, basketball, hockey, all that kind of stuff. That, you know, I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm enamored with the NBA playoffs. I was at the Nuggets game last night.
Were you?
I'm excited about this. Yeah. It was good. I can't say it was a good game. The Nuggets played terribly. But,
no, they did.
And it's one of those things where I love all sports, but yet everybody, all my friends and stuff, texting me like, hey, what's going on in the NFL today? Like, really? Like, we can't take a break from this for 2 months? But hey, that's the NFL, man. It is. And we see it with the draft ratings. We see it with a lot of different things. The NFL is so far ahead of everybody in popularity. It's just this is really America's game, and that's not changing anytime soon.
NFL doesn't black out games like baseball does, but that's another story for another day with you. How about that?
Didn't get to watch my Brewers lose today. I guess that's a silver lining.
All right, Frank, thank you so much, man. Go relax a little bit. Enjoy the family. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Yep, no doubt.
All right, buddy, you take care. Frank Schwab, the editor of Shutdown Corner for Yahoo Sports. Getting tickets to the Nuggets game last night. Told you the Trailblazers would win. Told you that. Anyway, all right, 50 minutes after the hour, we'll wrap up this one-hour edition of the Jordy Helpert Show next.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. Tomorrow, we'll preview LSU and Ole Miss. Ben McDonald will stop by and visit with us. Much more on the new agreement, pending agreement between the Saints and the state of Louisiana. Jeff Duncan will join us from NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, to tell you about that. And our thoroughbred handicapper, Michael Baychuk, will join us as well and give his thoughts on both the Kentucky Oaks, which is the Phillies equivalent of the Kentucky Derby, which will be run on Friday in Louisville, and then the Kentucky Derby as well. So, Michael Baychuk, a busy, busy show planned for you and yours tomorrow. Let's do our daily history lesson, CD, if you don't mind. It was on this day, May the 2nd. The year was 1998. The 124th Kentucky Derby was run. Real Quiet was the winner in 202.20 in the stirrups. Lafayette's very own, Acadiana's very own, Kent DeSormo. So a shout out to Kent and his brother Keith as Real Quiet, the winner of the Kentucky Derby on this day. May 2nd, the year 1998. How about that? All right, if today is your birthday, man, we hope you have a great one. The weather's fabulous. I think the weather's going to get bad this weekend, but today, your day, it's a beautiful day. So we hope you have a great one with lots of cake and lots of ice cream and maybe a present or two. How about that? Let's see who you share your day with. Happy 28th birthday to Paul George of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Of NASCAR fame, happy 33rd birthday, Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch. Soccer fame, retired, but happy 43rd birthday to David Beckham. And happy 46th birthday. I love every movie he's in. Happy birthday to Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Happy birthday. So, have a great one. And if it's your anniversary today, well, That's terrific. I hope you have had year after year after year to it. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon and evening. So, again, our number one was taken up by the Astros. They lose today to the Twins, 8-2. They're heading to Monterrey, Mexico, to take on the next game that they have, which will be on Saturday. And we try to bring you the Astros on these getaway days. And so we hope you enjoyed it. Again, tomorrow, lots to talk about. Baseball, softball, beach volleyball. Got it all going on for LSU. Plus the Kentucky Derby, and so much more. So we'll be back to our regular time slot, 2 to 4. So thank you to Cody Worsham for joining us, to Frank Schwab for joining us. CD, thank you for all you do. Thanks to you for listening and to our partners that make it possible each and every day. We greatly thank you. We have only one Thursday, May 2nd. Hope you have a great rest of your afternoon, an even better evening. Sleep well. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4. Same great station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty. Bumper to Bumper Sports next.